Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan Jaya, Giri Govardhan Jaya. Nitai Gora Hare Bol, Hare Bol, Hare Bol. Srila Prabhupada ki, Bolo Giriraj Maharaj ki, Go Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. Guruve Guru Chandraya, Radhikaya Tadalaye, Krishnaya Krishna Bhaktaya, Tad Bhaktaya Namo Namaha, Shri Krishna Krishna Chaitanya, Sasanatana Rupaka Gopala Raghunatha Apta Brajabalubha Pahiman Nama Krishnaya Ramaya Vasudeva Sutaya Cha Pradyumnaya Nirudhaya Sattvatam Pataye Namaha Vanchakalbhadarubhyascha Kripasindubhya Eva Cha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we want to thank everyone for coming and for participating in this Vaishnav Sangha and being such good listeners. I have no qualification. There's so many senior devotees here, and today Donardar Maharaj is here. So I beg apology from all of you. The only way we can speak in front of such an assembly is to try to do it as some service for the senior devotees and on their request. So yesterday we concluded our discussion by describing something about Krishna's interaction with Kaliya and the water, and how Krishna broke free of the coils of Kaliya. And then Kaliya was maneuvering in different ways, trying to bite Krishna. And Krishna was always moving in the opposite direction. And we offered some explanation for this. We offered some explanation for this point and for the points about Balaram. As we mentioned yesterday, Balaram is prominent in this Leela in three different ways. The first way he's prominent is that he's not prominent. All the different Puranas, which are a number of which, describe this pastime. They all say that Balarama Hina, that Balaram wasn't there when Krishna went to the Jamuna. And I hope that we'll get a little more chance to speak about this later in the discussion today. That's one way. The second way that Balaram is prominent, our acharyas have described that Balaram held back all the Brijbasis from entering into the Jamuna. And the third way that he was prominent was that it was on his words that Krishna gave up his being imprisoned in the coils of Kaliya. So we suggested that one way we could understand this yesterday is that Kaliya, the word Kaliya, we said, Kaliya iti Kala Iya. Kaliya means someone, Iya, who belongs to the family of Kala. And Kala in this particular case means black, Kala means night, Kala means iron, Kala means a poisonous snake, and Kala in this case means criticism, according to the Amarakosh, and fault finding. So that Hrada also means heart. So Kaliya's place of criticism also refers to the heart. And it was Balaram who held back the Brijbasis from entering into that place. So we've been describing how Srila Prabhupada wanted to establish Vrindavan villages all over the world, beginning with our own hearts. So if we want to establish Vrindavan, we have to not enter into that poisonous lake of criticism and fault-finding. And therefore Balaram holds the devotees back and shows them, you leave this to Krishna. And then when Balaram sees that the devotees are fully surrendered to Krishna and they're going to die unless Krishna does something, then Balaram tells Krishna, Kanai, you have to do something. They're going to die. So similarly, when the guru sees that the disciple is very sincere and he's a kantik, and as Srila Prabhupada said, this chanting should go on instead of meetings, dissolutions, resolutions, and no solutions, there should be chanting. When the guru sees that we're really ekantic with the holy name and I'm not going to take shelter of criticism, I'm not going to take shelter of these different things, then the guru gives his blessings and Krishna really appears in the form of his name. And at that time, Krishna freed himself from Kaliya's coils, and Kaliya was trying to strike him, and Krishna was going in the opposite direction and circling around him. And so we read some different verses yesterday about the nature of criticism and how we should go in the opposite direction. If someone is criticizing us, we should forgive them. And this is very good for our bhajan. So at that time, the Bhagavatam describes, Anamya tat pritur shirhas adirudaha. That time when Kaliya became exhausted by Krishna circling around him, then Krishna pushed down Kaliya's hoods and jumped up on top of them. This is the nature of pride. When we surround ourselves with the holy name, then our pride and our criticism becomes weak because of the holy name. And then at that time, Krishna can push down our head and he can dance on our heads like he danced on Kaliya's heads. Then the Bhagavatam describes Akila Kala Ariguru Nanarta. That person who is Akila Kala Ariguru, the original guru of all the different arts, he began to dance. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, in his Artha Darshani, he says that this is a very special pastime. As we'll discuss later on in the Hari Bhakti Ratna Prakash by Raghava Pandit, he says a very interesting thing that you may know, that in Krishna Leela, in Braj Leela, Krishna doesn't kill any of the demons. It's his Vishnu aspect, his Vasudeva expansion who does that. But Raghava Pandit says in this pastime is directly Krishna. It's not Vishnu, not Narayan who's chastising the demons. One reason for this, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur reveals in his Artha Darshani. He says that the reason why Krishna performed this pastime was because of the gopis. We mentioned the gopi means someone who's hiding their love. That's the meaning of the word gopi. Those gopis who had been hiding their love and who couldn't see Krishna and hadn't connected with Krishna yet, they were experiencing purvarag or love before meeting. They couldn't even look at Krishna to their satisfaction. They could just see him from a distance and cast some sidelong glance at him. And there have been no exchanges yet. So understanding the mood of those gopis, Krishna orchestrated this pastime. So that the gopis who came there, and we described yesterday their reaction when they arrived, the gopis could look to their heart's content on Krishna, Nandanandan Krishna. Vishwanath says that it was for this purpose that Krishna performed this pastime. So, Kavi Karnapurna Nanda Vrindavan Champu says that at that time Krishna began to dance on the heads of Kaliya, and all the devatas and the Gandharvas and Siddhas and Charanas and different celestial beings became very ecstatic, and they came with their mrdungas and their dundubi drums, and they began to play. Diktan, diktan, digitan, diktan, diktan, digitan. And Krishna, who is Akila Kala Adi Guru, the original guru of all arts, he began to dance in a very artistic way, a very special way. Sometimes Krishna dances for Mother Yashoda. Mother Yashoda tells him, she tells him that Kanu and Balaram, dance more, and I'll give you a ladu. And the older gopis do like that. But this time, Krishna wasn't dancing for Mother Yashoda. Krishna was dancing for Radharani and the gopis in such a beautiful, artistic way. And the devas, they were bringing out newer and newer melodies and newer and different talls, rhythms, and responding accordingly with them. Krishna was very nimbly jumping from one hood of Kaliya to another. Krishna began to dance in a very rhythmic, beautiful way. But at the same time, it was very ruthless. He was beating down the heads of Kaliya. In this way, it's described in the Garga Sanghita and other places that Krishna crushed the pride of Kaliya by dancing on his hoods. Similarly, Krishna, we pray that he may crush our pride and he may dance on our tongues in the form of the holy name. And Kavi Karnapur says that not only did Krishna crush the pride of Kaliya, but he also crushed the pride of the devas. Because the devas, they were very proud of their musical ability, but they couldn't keep up with Krishna. Krishna was dancing in such an amazing way and so quickly that they were defeated. And finally they just gave up and they began to dance themselves also, very ecstatically, seeing how Krishna was dancing in Kaliya. Krishna's steps devastated Kaliya, and blood began to come from his mouths, and his eyes popped out of his head, and his hoods completely collapsed. Kaliya had 101 prominent hoods, according to the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam also describes that Kaliya had 1,000 heads, so 101 of which were prominent. And whenever Kaliya would dare to raise again one of those hoods, then Krishna would jump on it and smash it down with the blows of his feet. So Sanatana Goswami in his Vaishnava Toshini, he described that Krishna danced somewhat excessively, he says, on Kaliya's hoods to create good fortune for Kaliya. And he says an interesting thing in line with what we've been discussing the last few days, something very confusing. Sanatana Goswami writes in his Vaishnava Toshini in a way which none of our other acharyas have written. He describes that Kaliya was a devotee. And then what Kaliya, we were saying the other day, that Kaliya was embracing him. The reason why Krishna remained in his coils for one muhurta was Krishna was stunned in ecstasy in the loving embrace of Kaliya. And then what Kaliya bid him, it was actually a kiss of love. So similarly, Sanatana Goswami says that Kaliya, when Krishna was beating down his heads, he was in too much pain to speak. But in his mind, Kali was saying, Ami Tomar, Ami Tomar, I am yours. I belong to you. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his Saartha Darshan, he describes that previously, Kaliya's wives, they'd preach to Kaliya. They were devotees. But due to his pride, he couldn't appreciate Krishna. But then, by the purifying touch of Krishna's feet, Kaliya's offenses were neutralized, and the seed of bhakti began to sprout in him. And the Bhagavatam describes that when those Nagapatnis, the wives of Kaliya, they saw that Kaliya was dying. Previously, Vishwanath says that those wives had been disgusted with their husband. This is something which goes on not only in ISKCON, but also in Braj, Sometimes ladies become disgusted with their husband. So they were very disgusted with Kaliya because he was such a rascal, such a demon. And they were thinking to themselves previously, let him die. He's such a rascal. He's such a bogus person, such an atheist. Let him die. And then after he dies and we become widows, then we can fully engage in Krishna service. But when those Nagapatnis saw all the different signs of Sanchari Bhav, of ecstasy in Kaliya, such as humility and regret, doubt, indifference to his suffering, then they could understand these things from Kaliya's expressions. And those wives, they thought, we're very fortunate. Our husband's become a devotee. Hari Bol. For so long, we've been waiting for this thing. Therefore, we have to try to save him. In Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami describes different causes of humility. Dukkha chasa paradhardhyair anojityam tudinata chatukrin manjamalinya chittanga jadimari krit. That when one thinks oneself a very low creature for the following reasons, because of sorrow, because of fear or offense, this is called dainya, or dinata. And in this state, there are words of flattery, feebleness of the heart, impurity of the heart, thinking various thoughts, and immobility of the limbs. Prabhupada translates this in a different way. In one purport in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he doesn't give the shloka, but it's clear that it's from this. He says, when unhappiness, fear, and the sense of having offended combined together, then one feels condemned. So Kaliya was very unhappy that he created this offense. He was afraid of Krishna, and he had a sense of offending. When all these different things come together, then one feels condemned. Prabhupada says, this sense of condemnation is described as dinata, humility. So this is what happened to Kaliya. And this is a very, very important thing. This is the beginning of our bhakti. The Garga Sanhita describes this pastime in the second canto, chapter 12. And it says there that Nagapatni stuta krishnaha kaliyam vigata smayam. Visaya jahari sakshad paripanatama swayam. That when those wives of Kaliya began to offer prayers, and there are many things in this pastime we're not going to touch on because of a lack of time, one of which is the wonderful prayers of the Nagapatnis and Kaliya. And this would be a whole other discussion. And we're also not going to have time to discuss about Sobari Muni or Garuda and how it was that Kaliya came there. I'm skipping these things because I think or hope that most or all of you are familiar with these points to some extent. So anyway, when the wives began to offer prayers, at that time, the Garga Sanhita says that Krishna made Kaliya completely prideless. Krishna had smashed Kaliya, but still he had one source of pride left. My wives, they belong to me. They're very submissive to me. But then those wives, they begin to pray to Krishna and offering all respect to Krishna. So at that time, Kaliya's last vestige of pride was crushed. He lost everything. Then at that time, Sanatana Goswami says a very amazing thing in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Krishna, when he's dancing, suddenly he spread out his arms and he lifted the gopis up onto Kaliya's heads. Sanatana Goswami says, someone may ask, how was it possible? Because those gopis were out of reach. They were some distance away from Krishna. And Sanatana Goswami says that Krishna is Prabhu. He can do anything. He's never restricted by the laws of nature. And Sanatana Goswami says a very amazing thing happened next. Tabi samam teshu mayad bhuteshu rangeshu dibhya bahu gita vadanai nityan vichitram satu kotu kanavo lebhi sukham rasa bilasa sambhavam. Last year we had this drama And you may remember in the drama, they were having a very nice song, and they kept singing these words over and over again. Rasa Bilasa. Rasa Bilas means a Ras Lila. Mm-hmm. So it's described that Krishna, there with the gopis on top of Kaliya's heads, suddenly he began to do a Ras Lila. Mm-hmm. Dancing in so many different ways with the gopis. And then this really blew the minds of the demigods. Mm-hmm. And the Nagas and different personalities, and they all begin to sing and dance even more. Krishna, in this way, began to perform his Ras Lila dance. In his Digdarshini commentary, Sanatana Goswami says that no one had ever seen before a stage like this for dance. We've seen different stages, but we've never seen a stage like this, a moving stage, huh? Of 1,000 different hoods of Kaliya Naga. You may ask, how is it that Krishna is doing this right in front of Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda? Mm-hmm. Sanatana Goswami says that they were still in shock and they couldn't perceive what was going on. So right in front of all of them, Krishna began to dance, perform the Ras Lila on the hoods of Kaliya. This is a very significant point, and we'll try to elaborate a little bit more on this a little later. It's significant for a number of reasons, one of which is that the gopis were experiencing purvarag. So really the purpose of this Kaliya Damana Leela was to dance with the gopis to satisfy their desires. Mm-hmm. And then an amazing thing happened. Sanatana Goswami describes that after he subdued that king of snakes, mm-hmm, then Krishna, with a grin on his face, he snatched away the uttariyas, the shawls, the upper cloth of the Nagapatnis, who were standing there offering prayers to him. And then from those garments, Krishna began to tie them together and twist them. And Krishna made a long rope. And then with his left hand, he pierced the nose of Kaliya. Mm-hmm. And then it's described, Nagam ashvam ivarudash chodayam asutam hatat. Dritam dakshina hastena muralim vadayan muda. Then, at that time, Krishna started riding Kaliya like he was a horse. He made a rope out of the Nagapatni's cloths, put it through Kaliya's nose, and with his left hand, he was riding Kaliya like, in his right hand, he was playing on his vangsi. Nigavahanatam ninye prasadabharam acharan. In this way, Krishna showed great mercy unto Kaliya by making him his carrier. Sanatana Goswami notes that who is Kaliya's great enemy? Garuda. And what service does Garuda do? Garuda is the carrier of Krishna. So Krishna has shown so much mercy. Actually, Garuda is not the carrier of Krishna. He's the carrier of Vishnu. So Kaliya got even more mercy than Garuda in this way. Because he also got to become the carrier of the Lord. And at that time, Sanatana Goswami says the Nagapatnis, they came and they offered different clothing and ornaments and priceless jewels to Krishna. And Krishna put them down in Kaliya's heads. And then Krishna took all those things and he began to decorate the gopis and himself with all those different ornaments right there in front of Nanda Maharaj and everyone. And then Krishna got back down off of Kaliya and the gopis came down. And Balaram is very rustic. He called out to Nanda Maharaj and everyone, just see what happened. And they came back to external consciousness and they saw that Krishna was there on the bank of the Jamuna, safe next to them. And at that time, Sanatana Goswami says that Nanda Maharaj and all the Brijbasis, they began to embrace him again and again. And they drenched Krishna in a flood of tears. And Mother Yashoda was standing and the milk was pouring from her breasts. It's described in Garga Sanhita. And Mother Yashoda drenched Krishna in her milk. So Kaliya, he accepted Krishna's chastisement. And in the Bhagavatam, it's described that Kaliya, he prayed to the Lord, Bhavani karanam tatra sarva gyo jagadishvara anugraham nigraham va manyase tad videhina. My dear Lord, since you're the omniscient Lord of the universe, you know everything. You're the actual cause of freedom from illusion. So please arrange for us whatever you think is proper, whether it's mercy or punishment. Madhvacharya comments on these verses, and he says that one who simply accepts tatenu kampam susamikshamano, whatever punishment the Lord gives, and thinks that this is real mercy on me. Oh, I sprained my foot. Oh, this thing happened. This is Krishna's very causeless mercy, very, very good. One who accepts like that, even after being punished by the Lord, that person gets mercy. And other persons who, even after being punished by the Lord, they continue to envy him. And for such persons, they'll never recognize the Lord. So Kaliya recognized the Lord because he accepted the Lord's chastisement. And his pride was defeated. So then, the Bhagavatam describes, at this point, Natrasteyam tvaya sarpa. Krishna told Kaliya, Natrasteyam, not here, naatra, not here in this place. Natrasteyam tvaya sarpa, samudram jahimachiram. Go away, Kaliya, you have no place here. Go back to Ramanaka Dweep, go back to your island, which Prabhupada later said was Fiji. That's another thing. Go back to your place there in the ocean. So gyatya patya dharajyo goni bir bujate nadi. This river, this Jamuna River, which we described, is the life of Vrindavan. This Jamuna River, it belongs to the cows. It belongs to the boys and the residents of Vrindavan. You should leave this place. And Krishna told Kaliya that you go back to that Ramanaka island, and Garuda, he won't bother you. Dvipam Ramanakam hitva hradam etam upashritaha yad bhayat sa suparnastvam najan matpara lanchitam. Out of fear of Garuda, you left that Ramanaka island. That's a long story, but Garuda had been, the residents of Ramanaka Dweep, there were so many snakes. And previously, the guru of all those snakes, who is Anantasesh, he told them that you should regularly offer some sacrifice to Garuda to pacify him. Then he won't bother you. So Kaliya became proud and he fought with Garuda. And Garuda drove him out. So Krishna says that previously, yad bhayat susuparnastvam, previously out of fear of Suparna or Garuda, you left Ramanaka Island. And you came to take shelter of this lake here in the Jamuna. But now, because you have my footprints on your head, Garuda will no longer try to eat you. He won't bother you anymore. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that Krishna removed Kaliya's offense to Garuda and to the Brajbasis. And he did that because of the devoted worship of the Nagapatnis. Husbands should remember this point. So, many different things are there. We have a number of questions that we'd like to raise at this point. I don't know if we'll be able to cover all of them, little time we have. There's about 9 different questions that we see in this pastime, which we'd like to try to address. Number one, if Kaliya's wives were devotees, why did they marry such a budmash, such a rascal, like Kaliya? No Vaishnavi lady is going to want to marry a snake who's full of poison, who kills devotees and that. How is it that Kaliya's wives were great devotees? Second question, what is the significance of Balaram not coming on this pastime? Third question, why was Kaliya not killed? All the other demons in Braj, they were killed. Fourth question, how was it that Kaliya got the good fortune to have Krishna's feet on his head? Fifth question, how is it, we mentioned this thing before, that Kaliya, he fought with Garuda? Well, Garuda's no small-time person. He's very, very powerful. How is it that Kaliya was able to survive that fight with Garuda? Sixth question, how is it that Kaliya got the good fortune to enter into Vrindavan. It's not such an easy thing to come to Vrindavan. You have to save money and buy a plane ticket. You have to get a visa. How did Kaliya get a visa? What was his plane ticket to come to Vrindavan? How could he stay in the Jamuna River? And not just for one or two days like ourselves, coming here for a short time. But the Bhagavatam describes that for many yugas, Kaliya was living in the Jamuna. That's not a small thing. Seventh question. We mentioned earlier, in this rare book, the Hari Bhakti Ratna Prakash, Mahaprabhu's Priya Parshada, Raghava Pandit, who used to arrange for such nice prasadam for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's described that it was directly Krishna, not Vishnu, who chastised Kaliya. Why is that? We gave one answer already, but some other answer may also be there. And another question is there. We know from Brihad Bhagavatamrita, the only place, Sanatana Goswami gives a very different kind of perspective. In Brihad Bhagavatamrita, he says that when the residents of Vrindavan heard the terrible news that Krishna was in the coils of Kaliya, at that time, Balaram, he was late. Everyone else rushed to the Jamuna to be there to try to rescue Krishna, but Balaram couldn't go, because he had to convince Mother Rohini to stay behind. Why did he tell Mother Rohini to stay behind? Brenda, do you know why? You don't know. Would you like to know why? We'll try to say today. Why didn't he tell Mother Yashoda to stay behind? Why didn't he tell Nanda Maharaj to stay behind? Why didn't he tell Upananda, Nanda Maharaj's older brother, some other persons? Why particularly Rohini? And because of that, Balaram was late. And Sanatana Goswami says, not only was he late, but it took all of his mental strength to keep Rohini back. Why did he keep Rohini back? There's also another ninth question which came to our mind. This is a very, very difficult question. And somehow yesterday, Giriraj gave us some inspiration for the answer for this question. I don't know if we'll approach this today. I think this is a very good question and answer if we speak something in the closing ceremonies to describe that. I won't tell you even the question now, but we'll see. It'll come to you automatically. So, the first question is, if Kaliya's wives are devotees, then why did they marry such a badmash, such a rascal like Kaliya? Sanatana Goswami has given a very unusual explanation in his Vaishnava Toshini. So unusual, I read something from one translator who was translating a number of different commentaries from the Bhagavatam, and apparently this translator couldn't even figure this out. And he translated what Sanatana Goswami said, how Kaliya was kissing Krishna, how Kali was embracing Krishna, and he protested in a way, this translator said, none of the other commentators say this. Which makes us a little hurt, because in effect, in one sense, maybe he's criticizing in a subtle way Sanatana Goswami. Like Sanatana Goswami's commentary is not really appropriate. There's something wrong with it. But we don't accept that. When we began reading this Kaliya Damana Lila, I was reading it from many different perspectives. And I was reading some things in the Brahma Vivarta Purana and some things in the Garga Sanhita. And for those of you, many of you here I think are well-read, you may know the pastimes of Krishna in Brahma Vivarta Purana and the pastimes of Krishna in Garga Sanhita are not always so relishable. Although Radharani is described a lot in the Brahma Vivarta Purana, and there's a lot of description about the chanting of the holy names, at the same time there's descriptions that says things like Radharani, she expanded herself in so many different forms and she killed so many demons, and we don't like to hear about Radharani killing demons and things which are full of Aishvarya. Because Aishvarya priti sankochita. Aishvarya opulence makes love shrunken. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes this. So we consider those two literatures to be Aishvarya moya lilas. They're pastimes, they're literatures, granthas, which are full of Aishvarya. But we found in those books some very nice explanations of some Kaliya Damana Lila. And then reading Vaishnav Toshini, we found that what Sanatana Goswami is saying is exactly supported by Brahma Vaivarta Purana and Garga Sanhita. And for those of you, some people sometimes have some doubts about Garga Sanhita. Is this a bona fide literature or not? It's an interesting thing in his Digdarshini Tika, his commentary on his own Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Sanatana Goswami mentions Garga Sanhita as a bona fide literature. And you may also know, although our acharyas don't usually quote Garga Sanhita, Bhaktivinoda Thakur extensively quotes Garga Sanhita in his Nabudit Dhamma Mahatnya. So, with that preface, we'd like to look to Brahma Vivarta Purana in Garga Sanhita. The Brahma Vivarta Purana describes that after Kaliya was punished by Krishna, then Kaliya, he explained something to Krishna. And this explanation has a lot of clues to some of our questions. Kaliya said, Samprapya tvan manum brahman anantad yava eva hi tava tva bhavanena eva tvad vargoham anugrahat. He said, my dear Krishna, previously I was initiated into Krishna mantra by Ananta Sesh. And since that time, I've always meditated on you. And now by your mercy, I've become part of your family. Because previously Krishna, he told Kaliya's very chaste wife, Subala. That's a very wonderful pastime. We won't have time for, I don't think, in Brahmavarta Purana. But Subala's prayers and how she prayed for Kaliya and how ultimately she didn't want to be with Kaliya. She wanted to go back to be with Krishna. She had some madhurja. Some feelings of madhurja rest for Krishna. But Krishna at one point he consoled her and Krishna told her, he said, Adya prabritti nagesi bhuta kanya chatvam mama. He said, from now on, you're my daughter. He told that to Kaliya's principal queen, Subala. And tvat pranadika evayam janmatadna chasangsayaha. Your husband, who's more dear to you than life, from now on, he's my son-in-law. You're my daughter, and your husband's my son-in-law. Well, who is more dear to you, your daughter or your son-in-law? Son-in-law's dear, but your daughter's even more dear. So Subala, this chief of the Nagapatnis, the queen of the Nagapatnis, she was more dear to the Lord than Kaliya. And because of her devotion to Krishna, then Krishna also accepted Kaliya. And he said that from now on, you're my family. You're like my daughter, and Kaliya is like my son-in-law. So therefore, Kaliya told Krishna that now by your mercy I become part of your family. Tvadvargoham anugrahat. Because I was always meditating on you. Because I got this mantra from Ananta Sesh. So this answers a number of our questions. That this is why Kaliya's wives married Kaliya. Because initially he was a devotee. He was a bit of a mixed devotee. He was a little passionate. Maybe some of us are little mixed devotees also. And we might contemplate in these pastimes how they may be also appropriate for us. So it also answers the question why Kaliya wasn't killed by Krishna. Because Kaliya was a devotee. The other demons, Agasura and Trinavarta and others, they weren't devotees. Kaliya was special. It also answers the question how it was that Kaliya got the good fortune of having Krishna's feet on his head. And it answers the question of how Kaliya was able to enter into Vrindavan and stay for so long in the Jamuna. No ordinary person could do that. But because Kaliya was a devotee, initiated by Ananta Sesh, he was able to do that. So, now, what is the answer to our second question? Our second question is, what is the significance of Balaram's not coming there? This is a very interesting thing. We didn't see any commentaries from our acharyas about this. But we noted something in the Vishnu Purana, in the Harivamsa Purana, in the Bhagavatam, in Ananda Vrindavan Champu, in Garga Sanhita, in Brahma Vaivarta Purana, and all the different places where this pastime is described. All the acharyas, all the different literatures mention that Balaram didn't go. Must have been something important. Some important reason. We offered one explanation a few days ago. Vishwanath says that because it was Balaram's birthday. But we're not very satisfied with that. Let's contemplate who Balaram is and something about Balaram's pastimes. Balaram is Adi Guru. And Balaram's very, very merciful. One example is how Balaram accepts Duryodhan, who's a first-class badmash, first-class rascal, as his disciple. Guru is like that. Sometimes Guru accepts someone like myself, or some rascal person. And he has so much kindness and mercy. Balaram was so merciful to Duryodhan that he couldn't tolerate going to Kurukshetra when Krishna was going there with the Pandavas, because he knew what was going to happen to Duryodhan. This is Balaram's nature. Balaram is also known sometimes as Anantasesh. So one of Balaram's disciples is Duryodhan. Another one of Balaram's disciples is Kaliya. And if Balaram couldn't tolerate going to Kurukshetra because he would see Duryodhan chastised, then perhaps this is the answer to why Balaram didn't come. Because he also couldn't tolerate to see his dear disciple, Kaliya, chastised. So, in answer to our third question, why Kaliya wasn't killed, because Kaliya was a devotee, he was a Sakama Bhakta, and therefore Krishna drove him out, he didn't kill him. Because malice and envy, criticism, has no place in Vrindavan. If we want our hearts to be Vrindavan, if we want to establish Vrindavan villages all over the world, we have to drive Kaliya out. But don't try to go on a campaign to drive Kaliya out. Therefore, Balaram held the Brijbasis back and told them, don't enter into the Jamuna here, you'll die. We leave that to Krishna in the form of the holy name. Instead of meetings, dissolutions, revolutions, and no solutions, let there be chanting. And that chanting will drive out this Kaliya. If we make a circle around Kaliya, if we go in the opposite direction of Kaliya with our chanting, then this envy will be driven out. Bhaktivinoda Thakur also says in one article in Sajjana Toshini that the reason why Kaliya was driven out, even though he got so much mercy, why wasn't he allowed to stay in Vrindavan? He said because Kaliya didn't take shelter of any of the Brijbasis. Kaliya got a lot of mercy. Krishna danced on his head with the gopis. And he was staying in the Jamuna for so many years, but he couldn't stay in Vrindavan because he didn't take shelter of any of the Brijbasis. So similarly, if we want to stay in Vrindavan, if we want Vrindavan to be our heart, if we want to have a Vrindavan village, we have to take shelter of those Ragatmaka Bhaktas, those devotees who are Krishna's direct associates, and in absence of such personalities, the direct association, we take shelter of those Raganuga Bhaktas who are following those Ragatmaka Bhaktas. In answer to our fifth question, how was it that Kaliya survived his fight with Garuda? Garuda is a very powerful person. And he was very angry with Kaliya. They fought for one muhurta, for nearly an hour. The Brahmavivarta Purana describes, Smitva hari padambojam kaliyo yugadegune muhurtam cha tayor yudham babuvataiva dharunam. The whole time Kaliya was fighting with Garuda, he was chanting Hare Krishna in his mind. He was meditating on Krishna's name and meditating on Krishna's lotus feet. And because of that, Garuda couldn't defeat him. The holy name is such a very, very powerful thing. So then, another question comes in at that point. If Kaliya was so powerful by chanting Krishna's name, then why wasn't he able to defeat Garuda? So the Kaliya answers this himself. He tells Krishna, Mam cha bhaktam apakvam va vijnana garuda svayam desha dharum chanyakaram chakara drida bhaktiman. Garuda understood that I was a bhaktam apakvam. I was an immature devotee. I was kaccha. It's pakka and kaccha. I was apakvam. The opposite of being ripe. I was an immature devotee. And because Garuda knew that, then because he was jitta bhaktiman, he was very advanced in bhakti. He was very fixed. He was more advanced than myself. Garuda was able to insult me and force me to leave my home in Ramanaka Dweep. We ask the question, why was it that Kali was able to live on the Jamuna for so many years? One answer was because of his chanting of Krishna's names. But according to Garga Sanhita, another answer comes up. Kaliya, in his previous birth, is described, was a sage named Vedasira Muni. He was a descendant of Bhrigu, and he was doing penance in the Vindhya Mountains. And one day, he was living there in the mountains. He had his nice ashram. One day, one other Muni, his name was Ashvashira Muni. So there was Vedasira and Ashvashira. Ashvashira Muni came and he started doing austerities. And at that time, Vedasira became angry and his eyes became red. And he said, "What are you doing here? This is my place. This is my house." He was a guest. When some uninvited person comes, you shouldn't criticize him. But Vedasira Muni told him, "Isn't there any other place you can go?" At that time, when Ashvashira Muni heard Vedasira Muni's words, he became angry and he said, "This place belongs to Lord Vishnu. It's not your place." Sometimes devotees quarrel like this in the Brahmacharya Ashram also. So it's my kopans, my place. No, it's mine. This belongs to Srila Prabhupada. This belongs to Mahavishnu. It doesn't belong to you or I. So many sages have done penance here. You're angry for no reason. You're hissing like a snake. So you should become a snake. And you'll always become afraid of Garuda. So then Vedasira became very angry. He said, "You're cursing me for no good reason. You're like a crow. So you should become a crow." And then both of them realized, maybe this is not such a good thing to argue. Sometimes devotees also do like this in the ashram. They start quarreling and then they realize, this is not a very good thing to do. And they feel bad. So at that time, Lord Vishnu appeared there. And he consoled those two sages. And he told them, "You're both equally devoted to me. You're like, one of you is like my right hand, the other is like my left hand." He said, "I can make my words false, but I don't allow the words of my devotees to become false. That's my vow." Oh, Krishna. So he said, "Vedasira, you'll become the snake Kaliya. And I'll put my footprints on your head. And because of that, you'll never fear Garuda. And oh, Ashvashira, you'll become Kakabushundi. And you'll speak Ramayan." So, very quickly. Then in his Hari Bhakti Ratna Prakash, Raghava Pandit answers some of our other questions. That because Kaliya was always meditating on Garuda, and he gives some different pramanas, I won't read those now, our time is short. That if you meditate on Krishna, you become purified. And similarly, if you meditate on the Lord's devotees, you become purified. And because Kaliya was always meditating on Garuda out of fear, Kaliya became purified. And Krishna became pleased with him. And Krishna personally chastised Kaliya, not Vishnu. So, one last question. Why did Balaram keep Rohini back? Sanatana Goswami describes this in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. And some people may say, "What is this point? It doesn't make any sense." But Sanatana Goswami knows Garga Sanhita. In Garga Sanhita, it's described there that during the Chakshusha Manvantar, Pajapati Daksha, he gave 11 beautiful daughters in marriage to Kashyapa Muni. Text 18 describes, "Tasham kadrus chaya shrestha sadyaiva rohini smita." One of the best of all those daughters was Kadru. And Kadru became Rohini, the mother of Balaram. That same Kadru. And then, a few verses later, it's described how Kadru gave birth to 10 million different snakes. And it says, Tesham Vedasira Nam Akaliyo Bhud Mahafani. A monk in that Vedasira, who is described in Brahma Vivarta Purana, became the great snake Kaliya. So it was for this reason that Balaram held Rohini back. Because Rohini is actually Kaliya's mother in her previous birth. So these are some of the secrets and purports to this Kaliya Damana Leela. Many, many different things are there. Maybe we'll say a little bit more in the closing ceremony. If anyone has any questions, you can come and see me. But please, go and take prasadam timely. I have two short announcements we'd like to make. One is that we have our Krishna Katami to Bindu email magazine. And if you'd like to sign up for that for free, it comes every Ekadasi. We've had over 256 issues now. We have over 5,000 subscribers. Practically every issue has some new translations and things from Srila Prabhupada and different acharyas. There's two pieces of paper outside the building here, outside the door, and you can give your email address. Please write very neatly so we can read it and your name, and you can sign up for that. Second announcement, Dhanadhar Maharaj is here. We have a parikrama coming up in Puri, a retreat, our Puri retreat, which we've been doing now, I think, for 8 years. Is that right, Maharaj? So it'll be the 8th year. And it's a very nice retreat. It's free. The prasadam is free. You have to pay for accommodation. You have to pay for your going there. But it goes from the 25th of January to the 31st of January. And if you'd like to take part in that, excuse me, Kun? The 30th. The 25th of January to the 30th of January. Please see Krishna Kund about this. And she can help you if you want to arrange some accommodation in Puri. She knows all the different hotels and things like that. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. Vamsha kalpataru bhyascha kripa sindhubhyeva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo.